morning, everyone. Welcome to worship here at Glenshaw Valley. It's good to see you on this bright and sunny Sunday morning. I have a couple of announcements to share with you this morning. The first is to remind session, we have our monthly session meeting this Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Deacons, we have our monthly meeting, not this Wednesday, the following Wednesday. I will send you guys a Zoom link for the meeting a little bit later in the week. Next Sunday, daylight savings time begins. So if you are somebody that awakens with something other than a smartphone, please, please, please remember to set your clocks ahead an hour when you go to bed on Saturday night. You all laugh, but every single year, somebody will show up to church an hour late or an hour early because of daylight savings. That Saturday, I believe it's March 20th, 21st, is it the 20th? 20th, we are having our spring craft show in McFadden Hall. We hope you can join us for that event. I'm excited to see what everybody has made during this time at home. Everybody's been crafting, so my expectations are pretty high. I think those are all of the announcements I have. We need baked goods for the bake sale. If you have baked goods, you can drop them off at the church the day before.
Friday evening and Saturday morning.
Yes. Please drop off your baked goods. And you can show off all of the baking that you've done during quarantine. Any other announcements? All right, let us turn our attention to God with our call to worship. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Friends, at this time I invite you to rise and join with me for our opening hymn, Christ is Made the Sure Foundation. join with me in our prayer of confession. God of mercy, you sent Jesus to seek and save the lost. We confess that we have strayed from you and turned aside from your way. We are misled by pride, for we see ourselves pure when we are stained, and great when we are small. We have failed in love, neglected justice, and ignored your truth. Have mercy, O God, and forgive our sin. Return us to paths of righteousness through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Friends, in the name of Jesus Christ, I declare that we are forgiven. Amen.
Amen.
Now, as we profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Friends, let us greet one another.
Oh.
Let us pray. Holy God, you have called us to live before you and with one another in faithfulness. Unable to live as you intend, we inflict harm and hurt on others and ourselves as well. Restore us to communion with you and one another, that we might live in the freedom you have bestowed. We pray for victims of crime, that they find healing and safety. We pray for healing and reconciliation where trust has been broken. Restore us to one another and reconcile to ourselves and to you, loving God. In every relationship, we seek your grace as we honor others by caring for them and working for their welfare. Gracious God, we pray for those who are ill in mind, body, or spirit, especially my mom, Mary Hauser, with spinal stenosis, Sandy Salmon, Kathy Segi's mom, who was diagnosed with COVID, Sue Galley, Bev Ruby's daughter, Sandra, who's having a double mastectomy on the 10th, and Lois's granddaughter, Ava Carney, who's having knee surgery tomorrow. We acknowledge with awe the things we felt, the times we felt your presence, and thank you with joy for our answered prayers. Send us out in love with open eyes, ears, and hearts. Make us true neighbors to one another and true children of your own calling. All these things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now quiet our hearts and minds for the offertory. Let us give thanks to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you continue to bless us abundantly. We pray that we would use these gifts for the glory of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated.
The scripture for today comes from the second chapter of John, verses 13 through 22. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple courts, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned the tables. To those who sold doves, he said, "Get these out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a market." His disciples remembered that it is written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then responded to him, "What sign can you show us to prove your authority to do this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." They replied, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you are going to raise it in 3 days?" But the temple he had spoken of was his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scriptures and the words that Jesus had spoken. The word of the Lord.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Where do you meet God? Maybe you meet God here in our sanctuary. Maybe you meet God when you're out for a walk with your dog. Maybe you meet God in the waiting room of a hospital as you wait for the doctor to come and get you and tell you how a loved one's surgery went. In our scripture passage for today, we learn that for Jewish believers, they meet God in the temple. The temple was the place where Jewish believers would go to worship God and also to offer sacrifices to God. Now, this concept of sacrifices is a little bit foreign to us as Christians, so I want to explain kind of what's happening here. The reason they offered sacrifices was in hopes that these sacrifices would cleanse the temple of human sin. Because for Jewish believers, God literally dwells in the temple, and human beings offended God when they sinned. So animal sacrifices, usually the firstborn or like the purest animal you could find, helped to cleanse the temple in the hopes that God would no longer be offended. So, kind of given this background, it makes a lot of sense that crowds of people would gather outside the temple courtyard. They would gather so that they could purchase the animals that they would need to sacrifice to God. This story actually appears in all four of the Gospels. In the Synoptic Gospels, so Matthew, Mark, and Luke, when they tell the story of Jesus in the temple courtyards, they tend to focus on Jesus flipping or overthrowing the tables in the courtyard. Because instead of going to the temple to worship God, people were gathering outside of the temple either to gossip or to charge outrageous amounts of money for these animals that were to be sacrificed. So instead of the temple being a house of worship, it was turning into a house of corruption. In John, Jesus is actually calling to dismantle the entire system of temple worship. He's basically saying that this entire system of worshiping God is corrupt. So we have to start over. For us as Christians, we believe that worship starts over in Jesus. Because Jesus replaces the temple as the location of God's glory. Jesus is God made flesh. And Jesus is the one who actually restores the relationship between human beings and God. And it is because of Jesus that we no longer have to offer animal sacrifices to atone for our sin. Jesus takes care of this once and for all on the cross. As we journey with Jesus to the cross, we learn that faith is not just about believing in Jesus. Faith is also following Jesus in our daily lives. Faith is what we call an embodied practice. It is a practice that we participate in with our bodies. You'll notice that during Lent, we actually follow the body of Jesus as he travels to Jerusalem. In a couple weeks, we'll follow Jesus' journey from Jerusalem to the cross to the empty tomb. And we'll watch him bend down on his knees and wash the feet of his disciples. We'll count the nail marks in his hands and side. And remember, it is his body that is resurrected that the women recognize on Easter morning. I think it's helpful to imagine Jesus turning over the tables in the courtyard as kind of a piece of performance art, where Jesus is using his body to tell a story. And the story that he's trying to tell is that the kingdom of God has come near. No longer is our God confined to a temple. God has become man, and that man's name is Jesus. Don't get so caught up in the corruption happening outside of the temple that you miss this miracle that is happening right in front of you. Over these last 2,000 years or so of Christian history, Christians have adopted a practice that allows them to kind of get at the embodied nature of their faith. Anyone want to guess what that practice is? We're going to do it in 10 minutes. Yes, that practice is communion, or the Lord's Supper. When we celebrate communion, we celebrate because everyone is welcome to partake of this holy meal together. When we gather at the table, we proclaim that that which unites us, our faith in Jesus, is more important than that which can divide us. This meal reminds us not only do we have unity with each other, but we have unity with all the faithful of every time and place who proclaim that Jesus is Lord. The Lord's Supper is perhaps the clearest embodied practice we have. We touch the elements with our hands. We taste the bread and the wine with our tongues. As we're partaking of the elements, we listen to communion music. You all watch me bless the elements, and you watch the elders serve the elements. We use our bodies to participate in communion because I think our bodies understand this holy mystery better than our intellect is able to. Try as we might, we cannot fully explain exactly what happens in communion. We can only participate in it, trusting that the gathered community will fill in the gaps between where our knowledge ends and faith begins. Friends, as we prepare for the week ahead, now might be a good time for us to reflect on where we experience God in our lives, and perhaps reflect on if we're spending enough time in the places and with the people that draw us closer to God. I know for me, I experience God a lot when I'm outside, when I'm going for walks in nature. And I hope that the spring weather that we've had this past week is here to stay so I can spend more time outside in the coming days and weeks. Friends, I know that this last year of social isolation has been brutal for all of us. One of the things we're reminded of in Scripture is we are social beings. We need each other as we attempt to navigate the messy realities of what it means to be human. But we also need other people because bodies were meant to live with other bodies in community. My hope and my prayer as more and more things reopen in our community, that we wouldn't just kind of go hog wild and do all of the things that we've missed in this last year, but that we would be really intentional about the things and the people and the places that are life-giving and invest our time and energy in those and not get distracted by all the new things that are coming down the pike. This week, somebody asked me, "Hey, Pastor, how is this Lent different than last year's Lent?" I remember saying last year that this Lent is the lentiest Lent I have ever Lented. Little did I know what was coming, but at the time, it felt really intense. I still think that this Lent feels particularly heavy. But what's different about this Lent versus last Lent is I actually find myself with a lot of hope, with a lot of hope that God is doing a new thing in our midst, that this kingdom of God that I am looking for and I long for is actually starting to unfold all around us. One place where I'm seeing the kingdom of God unfold in our midst is in all of the new things we've learned to do in this last year. I remember in our scripture passage for today, one of the reasons the Jewish followers are hesitant to listen to Jesus is because he claims that he can destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. And the Jewish followers are like, "You have to be kidding. It took us 46 years to build this the first time around." Well, this last year has taught us that we are capable of doing new and scary and perhaps unconventional things. For example, if you told me a year ago that we'd be having presbytery meetings via Zoom, I would have told you, "You're insane. It is not possible logistically to get that many people online for a presbytery meeting." And a year later, not only have we figured out how to do it, we figured out how to do it kind of well. Like, you can hear everybody, and everybody can be on the call without it getting dropped. And surprisingly, one of the challenges we've had with presbytery meetings is that elders don't attend them because they would have to take a whole day off of work to attend them. Well, if the meeting is virtual, you can watch the meeting on your iPad in your home office while you are doing your work and kind of be in both places at once. In fact, some of our presbyters actually prefer this new way of meeting because they don't have to get in their car and drive across the city. I should preface this by saying that some of my colleagues that live in Texas have to drive 4 hours for presbytery meetings, and we're complaining about driving 30 minutes across town, but still, it's still there. Friends, when I read the story of Jesus turning over the tables in the temple, I think my first reaction, and maybe your first reaction, is to get a little bit nervous. Nervous that Jesus is trying to stir up trouble that we really don't need right now. Here, I think it's helpful to remember that Jesus came to do something for us that we cannot do on our own. It is because of Jesus that we have a shot at a relationship with our Heavenly Father. And this relationship is only possible because Jesus overturned some tables. With that in mind, let us prepare our hearts and our minds to encounter the risen Lord at his table. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Friends, we're going to remain seated, but I invite you to join with me in our communion hymn, "Loaves Were Broken, Words Were Spoken." This is the joyful feast of the people of God. They will come from east and west and north and south and sit at table in the kingdom of God. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. This is the Lord's table. Our Savior invites those who trust him to share the feast which he has prepared.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, O Lord our God, creator and ruler of the universe. In your wisdom, you made all things and sustained them by your power. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with the prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with all the faithful of every time and place, who forever say to the glory of your name,
Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Remembering your gracious acts in Jesus Christ, we take from your creation this bread and this wine, and joyfully celebrate his dying and rising as we await for the day of his coming. With thanksgiving, we offer our very selves to you to be a living and holy sacrifice dedicated to your service. Great is the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts of bread and wine, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, that we may be one with all who share this feast, united in ministry in every place. As this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ in the world.
The Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, took bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the sign of the new covenant, shed for you in my blood, that whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." Every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the saving death of our risen Lord until he comes. The gifts of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
Loving God, we thank you that you have fed us in this sacrament, united us with Christ, and given us a foretaste of the heavenly banquet in your eternal kingdom. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. For the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Would you please rise and join with me for our closing hymn, I Love Thy Kingdom, Lord. Say a word of blessing as we prepare to go from this place. Remember, you go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has a plan and God has a purpose to you being there. Christ who dwells in you has something he wants to do through you, wherever you are. Believe this and go in his grace and love and power. Amen.
Amen.